The quote in the Mordechai is Rav Meir. He doesn't say Amalgam, it's Rav Meir, correct?
That is the Maharam Yudhman.
Yes, okay.
Correct. I think we're up to the third unit. The problem of the unit. When you make a Rishus HaYochid, you have to have the area should be a minimum of Dabar Adabar Tzvachim, which is very small, Dabar Adabar Tzvachim. And the Chitzis have to mark if the area to the height of 10 Tzvachim. And in our Torah, if you have three mechitzas and a U-shape, that's sufficient. And with the Rabbanu, we require a tikkun on the Ruach HaVis. And because the need for the tikkun on the Ruach HaVis is only the Rabbanu, so therefore there's room to negotiate. Therefore there's room to be making a little bit on that. That's what we learned until now. So let's go some of the rules in the Gemara. So the Gemara has a cloud. What's the din of mechitza ha'emedes ne'emah? What if there's a mechitza that happens to be standing by itself? It wasn't put up specifically the Shem Mechitza. For example, the Gemara has a crack in the ground. There's a ditch, a crack in the ground. That's rock. So Mechitza Ahmed is not allowed. That's good. Or for example, if you have the farmer harvested part of the grain that's growing in the field, and he harvested a middle patch, and the rest of the grain is standing up tall, 10 tefachim tall, like a mechitza, on all four sides. So the location in the middle where you cut off all the grain is dalar al dalar tefachim, and you have these stalks of grain that are growing on all four sides that serve as mechitza. So the location in the middle becomes a rishus hayochid, even though the mechitza is ameres ne'elam. The Gemara has a machlokes abai v'rava. What's the din of a lechi ha'omid ne'elam? What's the din of a lechi? According to Rashi, that's the lamed of Yal Kegam, that the din is like Abayi, and the Rabbi in time denies it. He holds not like Rashi. He holds that the lamed has to do with Yimei Leidosa, Sheneroi Behemi, Masechus Nida. So the Gemara says if you have a Mavui, the opening Mishnah there, if you have a Mavui that has three mechitzes, U shape, so the Midirabbanim, you need some tikkun on the Ruach HaVis, so that tikkun can either be a Korah or a lechi. The Korah is a beam that goes across, it has to be a minimum of a tefach wide. And a lechi is a pole that's standing up 10 tefachim tall, that doesn't have any minimum thickness. Poshib Shat Gemara doesn't need any minimum thickness. So the Gemara says if you have a Korah, a beam that goes across, that's an invention with the Rabban. It doesn't really correspond to anything on the level of the right. So that's, why does that help? Why does that allow you to carry in the area? After all, you only have three mechitzas. The Rabbanon, they said you need a tikkun on the Ruach HaVis, so the whole tikkun is needed to make sure that people don't forget and carry out of the location that's the mukkah, because you don't have any wall on the fourth side. You have the beam on top, you have a hecker, so you're going to know not to walk out. Hey mama, hey mama, the whole need for the tikkun on the Ruach HaVis is only with the Rabbanon, so they invented this tikkun of a Korah. So the Gemara says, since the whole essence of the Korah is only with the Rabbanon, it's a cheft of hecker, so you have to have that the Korah was not of the Shenkach. Somebody put up the Korah, a Jewish person put up the Korah for the sake of serving as a head. But the Shad is, what about Lechi? Lechi does serve. We were discussing last week, the Mishnah Berurah had diagrams of the Bir Aloche. If you have a three-walled area, and you put a Lechi, a pole that's 10 tefachim tall, in one corner or the other, so that permits you to carry in the whole area. You have three mechitzas, so you put a lechi over here, a pole that's standing from the ground. So that's considered, if you have a mechitza on the fourth pole, so this principle of a lechi that it serves as a mechitza works on the level of the right, here you don't need it. Here it's irrelevant, because when I tell you about it, carry anywhere, you don't think you have any two walls. So you should first do the diagram, so if you put a lechi over here, or a lechi over here, that will serve as if you have this mechitza, so you have three walls. If you put a lechi here, so you have the lechi, so you have the third wall over here, so you're allowed to carry in this whole rectangular area of an atorah. The lechi works for an atorah. But with the Rabbana, they did away with the institution of lechi. They said if it's parts muruba lo imed, it's no good. We spoke, I think we spoke this week about the possibility of wrong. So all the regalim, there would be a borer that they would see in Scotland.
No, 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, yeah. So in Antara, this is good. Even if you only have the corners over here at Amon, you have 9 Amos, same thing as good. You have a lot of empty gaps, a big gap in the middle. It's Paras Murubala. The Taisha says on that Mishnah, the opening Mishnah in the second Perek in Ergun,
Obviously, that's the halacha Moshe Nitzina. If you have this configuration, it's considered a mechitza, despite the fact that you have personal balayim. But the Rabbanim, they did away with it. They said you can only rely on these kind of mechitzas, on the pas birot, for the oli regolim, only if it has the air in the middle, and you're only allowed to do it for the mashke mine, for the behemoth, for the people, let them climb down the ladder, and here it's over there. So they restricted it. See, here also, they did away with the institution of lechi. They only retained it. Minat Torah lechi is always good, but he only retained it for the purposes of the mavoi. And then the Ramah says in Shulchan Aruch, he quotes the Truma Sadesh, and his manner that we don't have anything of the mavoi. So we've did away, we've done away lemaisa with the whole institution of lechi. It doesn't apply anymore. But still, the Gemara has this machlokes abay v'rav. Minat Torah lechi is a mechitza. Consider this, you have a whole mechitza over there, and a mechitza ha'medes me'elahu is good. It's on the level of their eyes. A lechi ha'me'elahu would also be good. But mid'rabbanan, they did away with lechi, so the only time they retained it is by a mavoi, because by the mavoi you have three walls. You just need a tikkun on the roof. Revias, mid'rabbanan, in order to have a heker, not to walk out. So maybe I should say, just like the korah, which is a pure invention mid'rabbanan. So by korah, for sure you have to have nasa l'shemka. So the lechi ha'me'elahu would also be no good. Maybe the lechi has to be put up l'shem lechi in order to be matat tiltul here. Maybe I should say no. Sof kol sof a lechi on the level of the raisa is a mechitza. I'm the rabbanon, they did away with it, but here by the mavi they didn't do away with it. So it's retained b'teres mechitza. And the din is that a mechitza amed is me'elahu is good. So this is not like this abay v'rabba. But the lechi haimim me'elav is good or no good. The Gemara says, but whether you hold like abay, like rabba, this they both agree, that you require that there should be a heker. You need some cholof mevo yom. You need that on Erev Shabbos, before Shabbos began, somebody from the Mavi had in mind that we're going to rely on this lechi. You do need some heker. So some cholof mevo yom, everyone agrees, is required. The only machlokes abay v'rabu is, do you require that it should be nasa b'diyadim l'shem heker? Or lechi yom me'elav would also be good. So that's the machlokes. What if you have a tzuris ha-pesach or a medis me'elav? They built the walls of the boardwalk in such a way that they can't really serve as mechitzas. That's often the case, because the walls are not 10 tefachim tall. But they built it in the shape of a tzuris ha-pesach. They didn't have the goyim who made it didn't have it. They didn't know anything about hilchos Shabbos. They didn't have a mind the shape of tzuris ha-pesach. They didn't know that the Jews need mechitzas. You happen to have a tzuris ha-pesach there. What's the halacha of a tzuris ha-pesach or a medes me'elah? So that's a sofik in the Prima Godin. The Bir Aloha quotes the suffix from the Prima Godin, whether Tzuris HaPesach or Medes Me'eleho is good or not. Many Pesachim say, of course it's good. Tzuris HaPesach is Mamash HaMechitza. It has nothing to do with Heker at all. And the Prima Godin is not so sure. The Prima Godin had a suffix we mentioned last 2 weeks ago. Maybe the whole institution of Tzuris HaPesach was an invention of the Rabbah. Maybe it doesn't exist in our Torah at all. So maybe it's only an Indian of Heker. So for sure you would need like a Korah, the whole thing is an invention of the Rabban. So for sure you would need Nata the Shemka. Because of this halacha, this is clear in the Gemara. Mechitza, Meres Melech, for sure is good. The only time it's no good is, let's say, the fellow, the Gemara says there in Erev, let's say the fellow harvested, the farmer harvested the tfuah, and he has a big patch, an empty field over here, we took everything away, and then the tfuah that's growing on all four sides, the edge of the tefuah that's growing serves as mechitzas. So you have the area in the middle is mukaf talad mechitzas. Mechitzas hamed is me'elah. He harvested the field. He didn't put up the mechitzas. They grew from everything grew from the ground. He cut out the stuff in the middle. That's like tasa levanasi. He cut out the tefuah in the middle, and the mechitzas are remaining by themselves. So that's an example of mechitzas hamed is me'elah. So the Gemara quotes a brisa there in Erevin that if the location in the middle where he harvested the tefuah is more than 50 by 100 amos, just in the base of Sayim, then we know that midirabbanon you're not allowed to carry them. And our third is a perfect rishus hayochid, because mechitza meres me'elahu is fine. But midirabbanon, that's called a carpet, means that you have the mechitzas and it's lo hukas medira. If you have yosim in base of Sayim, the base is 50 by 50, and base of Sayim is 50 by 100. The chatzar mishkan was that size, 50 by 100. The Gemara didn't want to ask the carrying in the mishkan. It's going to come out, we're going to make a chumrah, the Tanoim, we're going to make a chumrah, and we're going to say that Moshe Rabbeinu violated Chil Shabbos by carrying the mitzvah. So that's not their heretz. They should make a din with the Rabbana now, that it turns out that Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKoyin and everybody with Mechal Shabbos carrying the mishkan. So this din of karpif, if you have a mokum that's lohuka flidir, you have mechitzas that enclose a very large area, and nobody lives inside, that you're not allowed to carry there. You're not allowed to rely on that. You can't carry there. So they didn't want to make it for such an area like in the Mishkan. So they said, the Chumrah of Karpov only applies if it's Yosim and Beis HaSaim. If it's exactly Beis HaSaim or smaller, so then in the Mishkan they carry it. So we're not going to say that turns out after Achumrah, Moshe Rabbeinu did something improper. According to Achumrah and the Rabban, he's going to come out and did it improper. So that they never asked. So the Gemara says that this area in the middle, if the fellow, the farmer harvested all the pears, then they have Mechit and Samed as Melech, but nobody lives there. It's Lehukaf Nadira. So if it's too large an area that he harvested, if it's Yosem and Beis HaSayim, then it's going to have the din of a carpet. But if it's smaller than Beis HaSayim, Mechit and Samed as Melech is perfect. It doesn't pose any problem.
What does the Gemara and mean there when it says that 50 by 100 comes out to be 70? Is that something, the circumference or anything? What's the 70? I don't quite have that.
The 50 by 100 is rectangular shape. So what if you want to make it square?
Oh, I see.
So you multiply 50 times 100 and take the square root, the Shiva Mama Vishirayim. That's 70 and 2/3 or something. So the Gemara says that that Shir, Shiva Mama Vishirayim, 70 Amas plus change, is a din d'oraisa that's relevant in certain areas of halacha. We'll have to get to it later. We'll have to get, where is that relevant, the din, the Shiva Mama Vishirayim. Here the Chazon Ish points out, based on this principle of Mechitza Hamedes Me'eleho, plus the next principle, let's first go to the next principle. The next rule is that let's say you have an area that's moved up and then you have a little opening. The people have to be able to walk in. Let's say you open up the door. So then when the door is open, so the inside of the house doesn't any longer have a din of Rishus HaYachid. The fact that you have, let's say, the wall continues 10 tefachim above the door, when you open the door, you have the wall on top, that's no good, because that part of the mechitza tluya, that's suspended above 3 tefachim above the ground. So the upper part, the drop in the ceiling above the door, can no longer serve. Cannot serve as a mechitza for the area below. So you're going to say, when you open up the door, you're not allowed to carry, so the answer is, you have a tzuras ha-pesa. Fine, tzuras ha-pesa is dinik mechitza. What if you don't have a tzuras ha-pesach? What if you have just an opening in the wall? No tzuras ha-pesach, and the door is open, so you're going to say you're not allowed to carry. So the din is, no, as long as you have omid merub al ha-par, you measure from that corner all the way from the beginning of the door, 100 amas, and the door is only 5 amas, 8 amas, 9 amas. Since the distance from that corner to this corner is 109 amas, 100 amas are standing and 9 amas are missing, so you say, ruba kukulai. That's the halacha, he say ruba kukulai. Gemara even has a machlokes in the first perek in Erev, and maybe you say machta machta is also good. Maybe if it's exactly 50-50. How can you measure 50-50? Exactly. So it goes into the whole dissertation, whether we pass an epshilat samsa, me epshilat samsa. Gemara in the end of Sota has a machlokes about that. It cannot be that it's exactly 50-50. Either it's going to be a millimeter larger or smaller. It can't be exactly. That's a machlokes in halacha. Do we keep that in mind that we say it's impossible that it's going to be the exact same shear and it's treated as a suffix whether A is larger than B or B is larger than A? But he say no, the Torah was nitin Torah malachi asher. The Torah was given to human beings. And to the best of our ability, we measured it and sure. So that's considered exactly 50-50. So Tosis has a discussion. How can there be a discussion in the Gemara if it's a parat ke'oimes? Whether they need parat meruba, whether they need oimed meruba la parat, or is it good enough if it's equal, if it's parat koimed? So that's a discussion, what's the shot? So the Gemara has, that's a machlokes. What's the din if it's parat koimed, is it good enough? In the first, in Chulin also there's a discussion. If you shech the neck of the behemah, you shech the kone, you shech the veshit, exactly machta machta, is that good enough? So there the Gemara has a whole, opens up the whole discussion whether machta machta keroiv, machta machta is not keroiv, so the Gemara wanders around kolater kula. Here in Erevin, the Gemara has the exact same discussion whether machta machta is good for mechitza or not. The Gemara doesn't wander anywhere and doesn't relate the two shailas together. The shaila and chulin by shchita whether machta machta is kerov, the shaila and Erevin whether machta machta is kerov. The Gemara never puts it together. The Tosis explains that there's more room to be made by Erevin because we know that shiur and chatzitzin and mechitzin is halach l'moshim isinai, that there's halach l'moshim isinai in Mechitza. So it could well be that this is part of the halacha l'moshe misinai, that despite the fact that machta machta and kol ha-tarkul is not keroiv, could be that by erev and by mechitzas it is good because of a separate halacha l'moshe misinai. That Tosfos shows from the Gemara. So the Chazon Ish puts these two rules together. One rule is that a mechitza hamedes me'elehu is good. And the second rule is that Aymed Merub al HaParot is that they say that if you put two and two together, so it comes out, let's say, in the streets of the big cities like Paris, that's what he's writing about. Shal came up, Rabbi Munk sent the Shal to Rabbi Chaim Oizer. We discussed it before, as the Second World War was about to break out, he was interested in making an Erev in the Jewish section of Paris. And then by the time Rabbi Chaim Oizer sent him the response, the war broke out and there was no Erev. No one was interested, just running for their life. No one was interested in making any Erev. It was irrelevant. So the Chazanish wrote at that time, and it's printed in a sefer, that in the big cities like in Paris or like in New York, if you look in the streets are not only not a Rishus Ram Deraisa, they're a Rishus HaYochid Ben HaTorah. Why? He says, even though the walls of the buildings were put up in order to enclose the inside of the building, the people who put up the buildings were not interested in enclosing the street, but it's a Mechitza Meres Merle. It turns out that the streets are also lined with Mechitzas. So if you go, let's say, on 185th Street over here, so you go from the corner of Amsterdam to the corner of Autobahn. What's the next one? Autobahn. So you have a wall straight that continues from the big old building of the yeshiva, then it indents a little bit, the wall, then you have the front doors of the building, then it goes out a little bit, then it goes all the way to the parking lot, and the parking lot has a fence, goes all the way to the corner. So that's a long mechitza. The mechitzas were made to enclose the parking lot, to enclose the building. But as far as the street is concerned, the mechitza made is mela, the same on the other side of the street. So this street is lined with two mechitzas. Then you have a third mechitza across the street. You have the front of the buildings on the other side. The front of the buildings line the other side, so you have three mechitzas. The only problem is that you have a gigantic gap in the mechitzas. Here you have the building on the northern side, 185th, and the building we're in on the southern side. Then you have across the street buildings that go like this, solid in the front of the buildings. You have three mechitzas. The Chazon Ish says that since, even though you have a gap over here and a gap over here, but the part of standing is much more than the gap. Think about the cross, what about? What about is over here, and then the building is lying the next street, but it's kind of like this. Even though you have a gigantic gap over here, but still, each time it's a bit of a part, and then it keeps on going the next block, and the next block, and the next block, until you get to Broadway. Then on the other side of Broadway, there are buildings, the front, it's like over here. The far side of Amsterdam is a building. The far side of Broadway is a building. You have mamish four mechitzas. You don't even need four. Even according to the Rambam, it's a Rishus HaYochid Ben HaTorah. You have four mechitzas. So the problem is though that there's a limit. How far do you allow? Maybe you move all up. So the Gemara says in Arab that if you have a pirta, yes, and the yeser. Here you have a gap, and you go from the corner. There's the southwest corner of our Rab building over here. When you have Amsterdam corner 185th, the gap from here to the front of the building over here is way more than 10 hours. So the Mishnah says, both with respect to Kilayim and with respect to Shabbos, that if you have a pirtza yes and a yes there, you're not allowed to rely on a Midrub al HaParuk. Let's say the place is Kilayim. Here's North Dakota, here's South Dakota. Kilayim Akutwa is along with Rabbah. Let's make it extra short. So let's say Northern Galilee, Southern Galilee. The thing is, if you have a fence over here, they can plant grain all the way up to the fence, and they can plant the school all the way up to the fence, and it's no problem. The Mishnah says, what happens if you have a gap in the fence, let's say 9 hours gap with Mamish Lakin there? So it says it doesn't matter. Since you have a claim to move all up forward, here you have 1,000 hours over here, 1,000 hours over here. So altogether, you can see that you're standing and 9 hours missing. So it's considered I can even plant the grapes all the way up till the seminary. You know, right, and I can plant the two up until the imaginary line. But what happens if you have over here a gap of slightly more than 10, exactly 10 hours? It's not so good. But yes, and yes, if you have a gap of slightly more than SRMs, then that's considered a pirtza. So you cannot plant so close over here. You have to mark it a couple of hours over here. You can only plant the grapes over here. You can only plant the sports of the end, but the rest, you have a fence. Here, where the fence is standing, you have a fence. You can plant the grapes from here and the sports from here. But the part that's missing the fence, so you can. So the Mishnah says both in Kalayim and in Erev. If you have a pirtza, yes, and a yes, there. At that point where you have the pirtza, you can't say that it's Kisasundam. You can't say Ruba Kukula. So by Kilayim, it only poses a problem on the 11 hours. It's missing, you can't say. By Shabbos, it ruins the whole mechitzah. But by Shabbos,
You can't say, well, where I am, there's a mechitza, so there's no problem. No, the mechitza has to be marked the whole area. The pyramid is, so this is way more than that. This is way more than 11 amas. Many, many amas over here. Despite the fact that the time is Guru Balaparas, then the other pyramid, the SMS, so you're not allowed to carry. So this was a big dispute between the Mishkan and Yankiv and Rabbi Prime Zalman Margolis. Mishkan and Yankiv lived in Karlin. He was the Talmud of Rabbi Chaim Volozhin, and he was in Lithuania. And the Beit Ephraim lived in Brod, that is in Galicia. So one of the several that had a few debates, they had a correspondence between the two, they had machlekes. So this was one of the issues that they had machlekes about. The Mishkan and Yankiv was of the opinion that this did, that's mentioned in the Mishnah, for the Pirti, yes, and yes, the ruin is considered a Pirtan, ruins all mechitza, but that's a din min haTorah. Where is there a pasuk? No pasuk. So how did you know it's a din min haTorah? Shiurim halacha l'mashim misina. So the Gemara says shiurim halacha l'mashim misina. The Gemara doesn't say which shiur. So says, this is included in the shiurim that halacha l'mashim misina. And the Beis Ephraim said he finds it hard to believe. He thinks that this whole din of Pirti, yes, and yes, is only mid rabbah. The Maaseh, they point out that it's really a machlekes harishayim. And the Maaseh, most of the posts have accepted that it's only the Rabbah. Chazal Ish writes that it was accepted after this big debate, it was accepted like the Beit Ephraim, that it's only the Rabbah. Moshe Feinstein assumes like that also, that it's only the Rabbah. So that's what the Chazal Ish said. Since this whole deal of yes and yes, there is only 50 yes and yes, it's only the Rabbah. They said that if you look at 185th Street, the same thing, 184th, 186th, all these streets in the big cities is usually going to be like that. You're going to have Omid Burub al Aparis on two sides of the street because of the big buildings. They don't want to waste any space. They don't have a house over here and a house over here. They have this block is straight lined with houses, the front of all the buildings. So they're adjacent to each other. When the buildings are not adjacent, then you have a fence. So the people shouldn't be able to go into the back of the building for security purposes. So both sides of the street are lined. And then you're going to get 20 blocks down, there's going to be a dead end, so to speak. You're going to have the buildings from the other block. That face it, like on Bennett Avenue, if you remember. I live on Bennett, so when you go on Bennett South, you bump into 181st Street. Now you can go to the, you can go west, or you can go east. It's not a dead end. But staring in your face are the fronts of the shops on the far side of 181st Street. So the Chazon Ish says that Bennett Avenue is the Mishita Yachid Ben Atur. Then the Chazon Ish goes, this is a very strong argument. This argument didn't originate with the Chazon Ish. In that sefer that I brought in last week, the Orchid Chaim from the Sepinter, he quotes that Achareinu from earlier generation, before the Chazon Ish was born, the Achareinu already pointed this out. So this was something new in the big cities that they never had years ago, that they build the houses right touching each other. So mamish, they're right next to each other, makes the whole street into Rishon Sayyachim. Then the Chazon Ish went a giant step piston. That one can hear. The Chazon Ish says that since min haTorah, you say that I visualize this word tzatzum. It's only a chumra midrabanan. This word tzatzum. So since min haTorah to Rishon Sayyachim, you're allowed to carry it, so we allow you to make an error. If there's a problem of carrying min haTorah, then you say after Rabbi Mubatan Mechitzur. That's what we said 2 weeks ago. But the whole problem of carrying is on the Rabbanan, then Taisha said you don't have to worry about after Rabbi Mubatan Mechitzur. So you can make an error. So the Chazon Ish comes a step further. Since the Torah is considered the Tzatzum, so not only is the Tzatzum vis-a-vis the inside, but that makes the 185th Street Tzatzum, it makes Amsterdam also into Rishon Sayyachim. Amsterdam, you have the buildings on this side and on that side of Amsterdam, and you don't have any walls at all, let's say, on the side. So how do you see the Shri'idu? You have the imaginary walls over here, the lines that you just draw over here. The lines that you draw over here make Autobahn. Autobahn has two walls lining either the north and the southern side of the street. So this imaginary line that you draw here makes this area into Rishon Sayyachim. And then you keep on that interlocking street. And every street you draw an imaginary line makes the next street into Rishon Sayyachim. So this Chiddush of the Chazon Ish, this Rabbi Aaron Kotler and others found questionable. Maybe that halacha that you draw these imaginary lines based on the principle of Ruba Kekula, maybe that's only vis-a-vis the inside part. Because the inside part has to be Ruba La Paris. Ruba La Paris, even the part that Paris is consulting, only using the principle of Ruba Kekula. But to say that it makes Amsterdam, say that it makes Audubon into Rishon Sayyachim, from the perspective of Audubon, there's mamish nothing there. There's nothing there. There is no Ruba La Paris.
That's questionable, but that's what the Chazon Ish writes. He writes that this makes Farket, this makes all the big cities easier to make an Erev. Not only are they not a Rishus HaRavim Derais, they're not even a Carmelist Menator, they're really a Rishus HaYochid Menator. So the whole prohibition to carry is only Midirabbanim because of the problem of Pirsa Yesem Yeser, that there's such a Din Midirabbanim. So he says, since it's only Midirabbanim, so we don't have to worry about Asir Rabbim and Vatna Mechitza, so you can make an Erev and everything will be okay.
This is in the opposite of the perspective of looking at Manhattan's entire island like we did 2 weeks ago, and looking at the bridge over to George Washington, the fact that it's a place where the Rabbis go over and they're pushing boxes of pizza. So he's looking at internally just within the streets itself.
Right.
That's another day towards making that. Rav Moshe looks at the whole thing as an island.
Right. So Rav Moshe, in a tshuva that does not appear in the Igros Moshe, I think Rabbi Menashe Klein printed this letter that Rav Moshe sent him. Rav Moshe says he doesn't accept this, that the buildings, he says, yes, true, maskim, the Gemara says, mechitza hamedes me'eleho is good. When you put up the walls, you don't have to have in mind the shame mechitza. But this shtick, to say that the walls of the buildings cause that the street should become a Rishus HaYachin, that doesn't work. Why not? Why shouldn't it work? Why not? That's what he says. How can you declare that the streets of the city become a Rishus HaYachin? Why not? The poskim before the Chazon Ish were born said like that. Rav Moshe has, I think Rav Moshe is the minority opinion here. He insisted that this klala, mechitza hamedes me'eleho, is good, doesn't help to make the streets into Rishus HaYachin. So that's when he wrote his tshuva about the possibility of making an Erev Manhattan, and he started off to explain the pro and then the con. So when he started with the pro, he didn't work with the angle of the Chazon Ish, that the buildings are in such a way that the whole area enclosed is going to be Rishus HaYachin because of the mechitza. He thought that the edge of the island was built up in such a way that it serves as a mechitza, and the whole island is a Rishus HaYachin, right? That's exactly. Rav Moshe doesn't hold from this.
In general, when they build, they remain around small cities or small neighborhoods, for example. Don't they rely on the chitza of Hamed Me'aleha?
Sure they don't.
So how could Rav Moshe say if it's holding for a neighborhood, then why shouldn't it hold for a city street?
I don't understand Rav Moshe's opinion, so I don't know how to answer the question. I don't know.
Why are the buildings to the chitza of Hamed Me'aleha? You don't say the chitza of Hamed Me'aleha, everybody can see this.
Good. Yes.
So why is it not
so Moshe says, but not to make the street. You can't make the street into Rishus HaYachin. Why not? He says, no, the streets of the city, that's Rishus HaRabim. Who says? The streets of the city are Rishus HaRabim until you put up walls. And you put walls around the street, so the street just will convert into Rishus HaYachin. So Moshe says, no, that's if you put up walls for the purpose of being makif the street. But since the walls are put up to be makif the inside of the house, he says, that doesn't make the street into Rishus HaYachin. I don't know. That's Rav Moshe and his children insist like that, and his Talmidim, they follow his opinion. But I think most others do not accept that. There are a couple of more klalim that we have to go through that do. Each one comes up every so often. There is a klal when you're establishing whether you have Omid Meruba La Paritz or not. So the Gemara has a rule that osi avira the high gisa umavatale. Let's say I have an area that's enclosed within the chisa, and I have gaps in it. The gaps are less than etzeram. Let's say I have a gap of 9 amas of the year. I have nothing. Then I have a wall up that's 8 amas. I have another gap of 9 amas. I have a wall. Why is it not good? Since the Nebuchadnezzar
his oymed in the middle of Ein Amir is flanked on either side with a pirta that's bigger than the oymed. There's a pirta of nine, there's a pirta of nine. So they gang up on the floor, oymed in the middle, they jump on him, and he throws it up. So it's considered as if you don't have the oymed. That's called Asi Avir, you have Avir. Avir are the high geese to the right, and Avir are the high geese to the left, and the Vatalei, so it's considered as if you don't have any oymed in the middle, so you have. You only have the oymed of 10, 12, to 22. And consider that this whole thing is part of it. 9, 9 is 18, is 26. You have a pirta of 26, so that's no good. So that's a gemara. That's a din in the gemara. So now there's a further question. Moshe has a tshuva at the end of the chelik hashemishpah, chelik beis arachayim. Chelik beis arachayim. So he has a tshuva about the Erev and Sigeg. Not a religious Jew, but the Sigeg. So he has a tshuva. They have a shadow like this. Let's say this would be 110, and this would be 110. So even after you're going to knock out the 8, and you're going to have, what did we say, 26 parts in the middle. You have 26 parts in the middle. But still, Ayman is way more. Ayman is 222. That means 222 and the parts is only 26. But there is a deal if you have a pirti yes and a yesen, so it ruins the halachis. Do you apply the principle of Asi Avir, the Hagisa Mevatalei, to declare that you have a pirti yes and a yes? That's the question. So the Sfasem has enough in the Gemara, enough in the Tosis that yes, on that base, on the base. The Sfasem has pointed out, you see from this Tosis that the Klal of Asi Avir, the Hagisa Mevatalei, doesn't only apply when it causes the whole Mechisa to be parsed through Balaimei. Even if you have to say Asi Avir, etc., you only have ruined the Mechitza to the extent of Pirti Esmeza, you also say Asi Avir and the Hagis Mavatla. So Moshe writes, he doesn't think so. He thinks it's okay. And then he says, he's not as far, he thinks that that's not as serious as Shiloh. Why is not serious? Why is it not as serious as Shiloh? Obviously, he is assuming that the chisaron of pirti yes and yes is on the rabbanon. The chisaron of parts meruba loyimin is a problem deraisa. The problem of pirti yes and yes, he obviously assumes on the rabbanon. He never spells it out, but that's what he assumes. Then in the next tshuva, he also talks about the erev and sigei. It's questionable in certain locations whether you have a pirti yes and yes. It's hard to tell where the mechitza ends and where the parts begins. So he says if you're not sure, you can be mekel. He doesn't spell it out. Why can you be made? Well, obviously, he assumes the fear to ask me yes is only with the Rabbanim, so Sofik the Rabbanim, the Kula. Obviously, he assumes like that. That was the machlokes between the Mishkanes Yankim and the Beis Ephraim. Whether the din appear to yes and yes is a problem there, right? So the Rabbanim, the Ramayisha also assumes like the Chazanish. It was Mekubal for many years. Then it's only with the Rabbanim. Now, when they made the Erev in Flatbush, so one of the Rabbanim, one of the Rebbe's from Tarvadas, published an essay in Hamasista. Where he was ushering, he decided to usher the Arab in Flatbush. So he wrote, the Chazanish is wrong. He wrote, the Chazanish made a mistake. We all know the Chazanish made a mistake by saying that Pirti Yes Mi Yes is only Rabbanah, because he discovered a Rishon who said no. We know that there are Rishonim who say pro and con. And what did he pick on the Chazanish? His local Orthodox Rabbi Rabbi Moshe Feinstein also said the same as the Chazanish. And that was Mekubal for many years with the Rishonim. We still assume that the Chazanish is right, that Ramosha is right, and it's accepted that Pirti Yes and Yes is only with the Rabbanah. So Ramosha is assuming like that. Pirti Yes and Yes is only with the Rabbanah. The whole Asi Avir, the Hagisa and the Vatalei will only accomplish that it's Pirti Yes and Yes. So he thinks that you don't have to be Machmir. The only time you're Machmir is if the Asi Avir, the Hagisa will cause it to be Paris Meruba. That's a problem there, right? But if it just causes it. He doesn't have any raya, he just says mitzara svar. He says, well, let's check the mesich to see if there are any contradictions. That's a funny way of saying. He starts off, he thinks he can be made. Let's check to see. So he goes through, daf by daf, the Gemara with Rashi. So based on the base of Tesis, he says, well, let's check through. Very funny, true. So he goes through, gets stuck a little bit. No, it doesn't say. Gets stuck over there. No, it doesn't say. He finished the whole mesich, there's no problem. Let's go through again the mesich with Tesis. Oh! Based on the base. He reinterprets something. He reinterprets like a waves a magic wand. And so he got out of it. Some Houdini trick on it. He got out of it and he says it doesn't really say the type. And the Sfasemet says, I'm not dab. You see from this type, he said that's what it is. So this is an issue halacha lemaisa. Whether you really have so Ramosha was Maksha the Erev and Sigate based on his svara, even though he didn't have any haichachas, and even though there is a haichacha against what he said.
He felt that he got out of that hechoch. So this is an issue that does come up. This osi avir the hagis and the vatal comes up sometimes. Sometimes it will be the serious issue of Torah's move alaimed, which the Gemara says clearly is not going to. Sometimes it will be this issue, which is questionable. There is another issue in the Gemara, Pitzcha b'keren zavis. This comes up very often. I remember when I was a rabbi for a few years in New Jersey, in Paramus, so many of the Balabatim's backyard, where the walls were constructed in such a way, they weren't allowed to carry their own backyard. They had a backyard like this. I had four mechitzas facing the house was over here. This is the backyard, four mechitzas, but the opening over here was missing. If this would be less than three tochim opening, so lobo this pisos and dummy, that's not a problem. But it was more than three tochim. So you don't say over here, I'm a buru balapur. Gemara says, if the wall would go like this, and this wall, if you would imagine that you have 1,000 amos over here, and it's only 8 amos missing over here. 1 amos missing, let's say, 2 amos missing over here. So if the wall would be like this, this wall would be over here. You'd be able to draw an imaginary line continuing in the same direction as this wall. And it would bump into this wall, then it would be good. That's the din of Imid Murubala Paras, that is considered Kisatim. But because it's missing on both sides, catty corner is missing, so you have to draw two imaginary lines. You have to draw an imaginary line over here, not another imaginary line over here. So the Gemara says that that's no good. So sometimes it's very easy to solve the problem. Sometimes it's just missing 2 inches. Just mamish 2 inches. All you have to do is take another pole and bang it onto the wall over here. Sure. So then if you draw the imaginary line, it will bump into the extension of the wall. But cold money, you don't put that pole up, so you're not allowed to carry in the backyard. That's called a pitzcha of the Karen Zavis, loyabdi in chief. That's a pesach, that's not acceptable. Shaila is how wide an opening, how small does the opening have to be that it should be disregarded? So if it's less than three tochim, that's a double pashit, that's lovel, that's obvious that you can disregard it. What if it's more than three tochim? So the Rashash Anad Gemorin, Erevin Das Vav, shows from the Gemara that if it's up until 4 tefachim is the Shia Pesach. So he shows from the Gemara the way it would appear that if it's up until 4 tefachim it would be okay. But if the opening over here, the gap is 4 tefachim or more, it's from this point to this point, drawing this diagonal line, if this diagonal line is 4 tefachim or more, then he claims that you have a problem. The Mishnah Berurah quotes a Rashbon from the Sefer Avodas HaKodesh on Hilchas Erevin, where the Rashba says Amo, the Shir is 6 tochim, and the Mishnah Berurah leaves it like that. That's a big pella. You never find the Shir Amo in the Homer Sefer Erevin. You find Zalan Amos, Eser Amos, 50 Amos by 100 Amos. You find 70 Amos. You never find the Shir Amo 6 tochim. Here you have, this is an Amo, this is a possibly right. Each one is an Amo, but that's the Shia of the Rabban. That's only the Rabban, and our third is not Shia. So this is a problematic. We don't know exactly what the Rajma means, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes his Lamach. He leaves it like that.
What are the machines in the backyard of the
premise? Mamish walls.
Oh, a fence?
Fence is walls, 100%. But because it's missing on both ends, it's not missing way less. So I mean, Berurah Balaparis here, I mean, Berurah Balaparis here. Is missing in the corner, so that's not acceptable. So sometimes when you make the error around the city, you also have that problem. You're just missing a little bit in the corner. So you can't just say, well, I have 1,000,000 amas like this, and I'm just missing 3 amas over here. So what's the problem? No, it is a problem. If it's the Karen Zavis, it's a problem. But that's only if it's the Karen Zavis. Let's say, like over here, when they made the error, the Mishnah Berurah has this diagram. Let's say you have a Rishus HaYachid. It has mechitzas around it, and this wall is 11 amos away from here. So it's a pirtzah yes and yes. This wall doesn't lead to anything. This wall doesn't lead to anything. So what would be the status of the area enclosed? So the mechaber in Shulchan Aruch quotes a Rosh, who says this is a gemara. That this is a good mechitzah. Why is it a good? If the gap between here and here is less than 10 amos. So it's considered as if it's a hemshek, it's one long wall. Even though this is missing, there is no wall. If you would have a wall here, of course,
even if you don't have the wall here. So it's considered as if you would have a wall like this. We only have 9 amas gap in between. And the rest is, let's say, 100 amas here. It's great. So this is a Beferish and Ishtabur that's acceptable. We have this Beferish and Mechaber. The Bir Allah points out, you see, from this Mechaber, this is. That's what it says in the Mechaber. It just points it out. He's very surprised. The Pashto says that it would be the same if it would be missing the other direction also. Shulchan Aruch happens to be talking with the two Amukhubim Zek and Eged Zek. What if it wouldn't be Mukhubim? Let's say it would be like this. So you're missing over here. But it's only 9 Amas. When you draw the line, it's only 9 Amas missing. The Pashto is the same thing. Why should it make a difference whether this goes all the way or doesn't go all the way? That's not called Karen Zobis. That's not called Karen Zobis. Karen Zobis would be, if the enclosure is approximately a rectangle, so this is the Karen Zobis, this is the Karen Zobis, this is the Karen Zobis, and I don't know over here, this would be, or this would be whatever something. But in the middle, that's for sure, that's not a Karen Zobis. This point over here is considered to be in the middle of the whole bar of the air. So that's why over here in the air, they have big gaps in the air, because it's not one of the four corners. It's not really the Karen Zobis. There is a dispute that Tesis has, which comes up halacha l'maaseh every so often, and the Mishnah Berurah is not sure how to paskin. Mishnah Berurah writes l'hokel, and the Chazanish keeps on delaying. He doesn't know whether it's right. L'hokel achma, he's not sure. There is a Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara says if you have a Sukkah where the defanas are only 9 tzvachim tall. And have to be 10 tefachim tall, so it's not acceptable. So let's just say a gigantic sukkah the size of this room. Now, everything is perfect, but the people are midgets. So they can squeeze in, or sit up and sleep in, whatever. 9 tefachim, very, very low, and so it's no good. 9 tefachim tall is no good, you have to have 10 tefachim. So the Gemara says, if you dig a ditch, that'll be another tefach deep, so then you have 10 tefachim, so then it's acceptable, but it's only good if you dig the ditch within Lovewood within 3 tefachim to where the tefanas are. Let's say you have a sukkah this size, looking from the roof now. If you're going to dig your ditch over here, it's just going to be 7 by 7 tefachim. I still can't see a minimum of 9 on 9 tefachim. And it's going to be 10 amas away from the wall, that's no good. The ditch has to be all the way like this. The ditch has to be that each side of the ditch is within 3 tefachim to the wall, so it's Lovewood. But consider as if I have a wall here of 9 tefachim tall, and then within Lovewood, the wall continues an extra tefach, so I have a whole dozen of 10 tefachim tall. That's what it says in the Gemara. And Masech HaShabbos, that's in the first perek in Sukkah, the beginning of Dabdal. And Masech HaShabbos in the beginning has the same thing. If you have a house, and the house only is 9 tefachim tall, so the inside of the house is not a Rishus HaYachid, a Carmelist or something, it's not going to be Rishus HaRabbah, it's not going to be Rishus HaYachid either. Unless you dig a ditch in the middle here, the ditch doesn't have to be Zayin al Zayin, just has to be Dalar al Dalar Tzvachim, because the Rishus HaYachid only needs Dalar al Dalar Tzvachim. So if the walls are 9 Tzvachim, you have to dig a ditch, there should be 1 Tefach deep, right? So 9 and 1 is 10, so it's good. And the Gemara didn't mention that it has to be within 3 Tzvachim. It doesn't say that the ditch, the edge of the ditch has to be lower to the 9 Tzvachim tall wall. Why not? So Taisus has two opinions. Sukkah and Mishav. One opinion is when you learn Sukkah, so you shed light on the Gemara Shabbat. It's all the same thing. It's self understood that it's all the same thing. The other day, Tesis says, no, this is a major difference. That in Sukkah, there's a requirement for a Chepta of a Daifan. You need a Daifan that should be 10 Tzvachim tall. And Shabbat, there's no din that you need a Mechitza that has to be 10 Tzvachim tall. The Makam should be Mukav. So the Makam is defined as a flat area, a floor, that's Zalar Abdallah talking. And that floor goes to the height of 10 tefachim. The 10 tefachim above any ground level, it's curious to that ground level. So that's called the makam. And the makam has to be mukav. So as long as you have this location of dalar adalah to the height of 10 tefachim, and if you look to the sides, there's going to be something that's makif the area, even though the thing that's makif is not a chetz of a mechitza, because you have 9 tefachim here and 1 tefach here, it's not lover to each other. If it's not love, you can't consider it one mechitza of 10 tefachim tall. But tzav, it causes that the makam in the middle is mukav. So since there's no need for a chepta of a mechitza in Hilchos Shabbos, so that would be acceptable. So this is a question that comes up every so often, halacha l'maaseh. When you're making an eruv around the city,
it comes up. You have the Mishnah Berurah has it. It comes up in real life. Without the Mishnah Berurah, it comes up in real life when you make an error. Have, let's say, step. So you have a mechitza, you have a tall step, let's say, 5 tochim 4. Then you have the step is wide 4 tochim, you can't say lower. Then you have the next step is again 5 tochim 4. And here you want this area to be enclosed. So can you say that this plus this is 5 and 5 is 10? Right. You can't say that it's lower. They're separate. So that's the question. Do you have to be able to say that the two parts of the mechitza are lover, that they constitute one mechitza? Oh no, sometimes they're walking inside this hookah. If you want to leave, you'll bump into something. The first that's talking above the ground level, in the middle, you'll bump into something over here, bump into something over here. So the inside is a makam mukam. So this comes up halacha mais. So this is the Mishnah Berurah is makel on this. He has a brief bir halacha. And he writes, Tyson says lahakha. Yes, and he doesn't say that the other Tyson says lahakha. 2 days in Tyson. It's not in the same system. One is a sukkah, one is a shadow, one is a Tyson, he's shadow, one is a Tyson. And he doesn't deal with it too much.
How much of a distance do they
know? If you would have less than 3 tochim, if you have less than 3 tochim, it'll be lahakha. Then it's considered a different one. But if there's anything more than 3 tochim, 3 tochim or more, then you have the shadow. You know, no. This is an issue that actually comes up. Silik mechitzas is a tricky thing.
Yes.
Yes.
We have natural mechitzas. Sometimes we have natural
mechitzas. Sometimes
we have natural mechitzas. Just keep going until you find another way. If you're not going to get involved in Adi Garza's problem,
I don't know what the limit would be. No, this is Tarsal and Amr. No. Here I have, it reaches the height of 10 Tochim, in a distance of a 4 Tochim, you know, it's much less than the Amr. That's another din. The Amr has a din, you have a tail on its blockade. There's a din of tail and there's a din of tail on this blockade. So the din of tail is like this, let's say, this is the ground level of the street. And then they put a pedestal in the middle of the street and have George Washington on the road like that. They took off George Washington's road, so he left with a pedestal. So the top of the pedestal was 4x4 tochim, way more than 4x4. And the edge of the pedestal is 10 tochim tall all around. So it's obvious on the outside, and ultimately it's that this is all concrete. So that's called the tail. The tail is the middle of Rishon Sarab, and the top of the tail has the status of Rishon Sayyar. What if it's not like that? What if it's the tail on this blockade?
Just as long as it's at the top.
Huh?
As long as it's 4x4 at the top, right?
As long as it's 4x4 on top, and as long as the edge is on the side here, this would have been good. This is 4x4. I don't know if it's...
Then we say gudas, right?
Yes, yeah, yes. Yeah, so here you only have 2 walls. You don't have any other 2. Let's say you have the other 2 walls here. So the top of the table would be a tail. So even if it will be in the room, of course, it's a Rishu Sayachid. The whole room is a Rishu Sayachid. Even if it would be standing in the street, so it would also be considered a Rishu Sayachid with the din of tail. The tail is when the walls are straight down at a right angle to the ground. What if it's not at a right angle? What if you have this goes up and up and up and up and up? So do you consider this as a Mechitza or not? This thing. And on top, let's say you have on top of this plateau, you have more than Dalet al Dalet Tochim. Would you consider these walls that slope down as a mechitza to cause the area on top to be considered a mechitza? So that's the Gemara that he's mentioning. The Gemara says if it reaches the height of 10 tochim within a distance of 4 amas, then it's considered a mechitza. But if it takes more than 4 amas in order to reach the height of 10 tochim, then it's not considered a mechitza. That's a detailed machlokes that Makabes HaMishnah has, a machlokes with somebody else, I forgot who, it reaches the height that there is. It reaches the height of 10 tochim within the distance of 10 amas here. This point, this is 10 tochim tall. Within a distance of dalet amas where? The bottom is dalet amas? Well, the hypotenuse is I thought it's a major difference.
It's not such a major concern. The difference between 22-degree angle and 24-degree angle. It's not such a big concern. That's a shayla of my mind. I don't know if that ever comes up. I don't know if that shayla ever comes up. That I never came for. That it should happen up to me. But on the books, there is such a mahalik. But there's another. What does come up, Allah Almighty, is if you have such a tail hamislake, this is the real tail. This is a tail where the walls are straight. This is a tail hamislake. You consider this a mechitza, even though it's not straight, it's not a right angle to the ground level, because it reaches the height of 10 tzachim in here, to reach that 10 tzachim within dollar amta, wherever you slide. So when you have such a tail hamislake, you consider it as if it's standing up straight. As if it's considered mechitza. As if we're standing up straight from where? From the bottom of the ten, talking up from the top of the ten. You consider it as if it's standing here. You consider it as if it were a mechitza that stands here. My nafkamina, kapsa nafkamina. Let's say you have a whole area and a whole area that goes around like this. And here you're holding by the end of the area. And you're using this tail of this plaque. Have a hole here. This area is the area. And the Erev goes around and around three walls. And then over here, you have a tail on this plaque that grows like this. And it has the correct dimensions. It reaches the point of 10 tzachim within Dalat Am. So do you consider it as if it were standing straight from the bottom of the tail, or as if it were standing straight from the top of the 10 tzachim tail? So now, Kamina Wachab, let's say the mechitzes that you have, the U-shaped mechitzes, are 9.5 amas away. And you have to make sure that you don't have a pirtzi yes and yes. So you consider it as if it's considered a mechitza from the bottom of the ten tefachim. So the mechitza is here. If you consider the mechitza from the top, so you just moved it over 2.5 amos. So then you have a pirtzi yes and yes. So this is a machlokes in the Tshuvas Beis Shlomo. Beis Shlomo is the one who wrote the Yashar Shankif on Yevamos. Mishnah Berurah likes to quote the Beis Shlomo. Every so often quotes the Tshuvas Beis Shlomo. I never looked, I never used the Beis Shlomo. Chief Rabbi Rabbi Shapiro, because he's a Rosh Yeshiva, he likes the Yashu Shang of Anilama, so he likes the Beis Shlomo. He told me, never use the Beis Shlomo in such a Gavaldi essay. So when he recommended it, I used it. So I saw he had this machloikis. The Shoyle and the Meshiv had this machloikis. So that's, no one has any rights really, but that's Kedai to be machmer in both directions to make sure that it should be within, shouldn't have a pirtzi yes mes, however you slice. Yeah.
So why don't we say the same thing
that it says? Oh, so that's what he started to bring up. The Mishnah Berurah and the Chazanish, I'm not sure. Maybe this halacha that as long as it reaches a height of 10 tochen within the distance of Rav Raman, that it has the status of a mechitza. Maybe that's only because it keeps on moving up. It keeps on sloping up. So that's why it has a mechitza. Over here, no activity is going on over here. Here it's straight. This is mamish parallel to the ground level. So maybe the din of tel ha-misklake, they're not sure. Does the din of tel ha-misklake apply here or not? If it doesn't apply, then it's no problem. It reaches a height of 10 tochim within a distance of 4 tochim. That's much less than Dalai Lama. But they're not sure, maybe the whole din only applies if this would be continuously sloping upward. And then it's included in the din of tel ha-misklake. So that's part of the suffering that they're not sure about. There is an issue regarding the mechitza tluya. The Gemara has a machlek in Satanayim and Sukkin and Erevin whether mechitza tluya is good or not. If you have a mechitza that comes within 3 tefachim to the ground, you say lovin is considered as if it were touching the ground. But if the mechitza is suspended above the ground more than 3 tefachim, so you can't say lovin. So the Gemara paskins la locha, machlek in Satanayim. We paskin la locha, it's not a good mechitza. Because the mechitza shahagadoyim bokimbo, since the animals, the goats, can run under it, so that's not acceptable. The Gemara has a machlokes in Tatanayim. How much is lovud? Is it 4 tefachim? 3 tefachim, or 3 tefachim? 3 tefachim. If the mechitza is suspended above the ground, more than 3 tefachim, it's no good. That's why a lot of times when they make an Erev around a bungalow colony, so they, wherever you have a bungalow, so you have a wall, so you don't have to make a Tzuras HaPesach. So if you want to make a Tzuras HaPesach, let's say all the bungalows are in a circular, in one bungalow, another bungalow, like this, all in a circular. So you don't have to make a Tzuras HaPesach all the way. You just connect this bungalow with this bungalow, so Tzuras HaPesach here and here, and then connect this with this,
stand like this. So this is only by Medvar Mamurim if the walls of the bungalow reach down to the ground. Very often these bungalows are suspended on top of the cinder blocks. So for the, with respect to the inside of the bungalow, there's no shayma. You have a floor and you have the walls that are touching the floor. So from the perspective of the inside, of course the mechitza is not tluya. But from the perspective of the ground, of the grass over here, so the wall of the bungalow is mechitza tluya, because a lot of times it doesn't come down within 3 feet into the ground. So that's going to be an issue. Mechitza tluya is no good. The Chasam Sofer writes in his Shuvah that he personally was mako. They had a problem in Pressburg. They had non-Jews who lived in Pressburg also. It wasn't an all Jewish city, by far not. So the Nochem is always written on the air. So he had an iron file, and he said that's how he solved the problem. Instead of having the pole starting on the ground and going up, and then have a string that goes from here to here, they started, how tall is the tallest Nochri? 7 feet tall. How high can he reach? Still 11 feet tall. So you start the pole at the height of 11 feet. So if you're going to schlep a ladder, they're not going to put a ladder to rip down the feet. So you had the poles were 10 tefachim tall, but they started at the height of 11 feet from the ground. So they went another 10 tefachim, and then they had a string that goes from there to there. So he said that's what he did, and it's okay. So the Chazon Ish has one section in his Sefer on Erevin where he disagrees with many things that appear in the Shuvah Chasam Sofer. So this is one of the things that he takes issue with. He says, what do you mean? But the mechitza has to be within 3 tefachim to the ground. And the pole of the Tzuras HaPesach, the Kohen Mikam, Kohen Mikam, that's supposed to be like a mechitza. So how can you have a mechitza that's suspended in midair? It's not touching the ground. So he says, I know what the Chasam Sofer had in mind. I'm going to explain it, but I think he's wrong. So he says, the Chasam Sofer must have assumed that the mechitza tluya is no good. It sounds in the Gemara like that. Mechitza tluya is no good because of... Mechitza shahagdoyim bokim bo is no good because the animals will walk under it. That's what it sounds like in the Gemara. Mechitza tluya is not acceptable because kol mechitza shahagdoyim bokim bo is no good. So b'med var ma'amurim, when is there an issue of gdoyim bokim bo? If you have a mechitza in the middle of a field, so the animals can run from one side to the other. But if you have a wall over here and the mechitza is suspended over here, so when people walk in the street, people don't lean against the wall. People walk a few inches away from the wall. You're going to lean against the wall, you're going to get the jacket all dirty, and you're going to rip the jacket because it's rough, the bricks or the stones are rough. So people don't wipe their clothes on the wall. But the behemoths also, when they walk, they don't walk right next to the wall, they don't want to bump into the wall. So since the whole Erev pole is a half an inch thick, a quarter of an inch thick, how thick does the pole have to be? There's no minimum thickness. So this pole starts 11 feet up from the ground, it goes to 10 tefachim. Pole is only the thickness of a quarter of an inch, so no one, not people and not animals, no one is going to walk below it. So this kind of a mechitza tluya is good because there's no gidoyim bokim bo. So first he explains what the Chasam Sofer must have had in mind, and then he says, with all due respect, he thinks that it's not correct, and he insists, the Chazon Ish insists, that a mechitza tluya is no good, even ignoring the issue of gidoyim bokim bo. And he quotes a passage in the Gemara where the Gemara says, if you have a mechitza tluya al gabi hamayim, I think we spoke about it a little bit, the guy lives in a hotel that's right on the ocean, and he wants to draw water from the ocean to wash his dishes and stuff. But the ocean is the Hakamalas, and his apartment is the Rishus HaYochid, and the balcony is the Rishus HaYochid, he's not allowed to. So he's going to make a mechitza, let's say, here's his balcony on the 20th floor above the ocean. So the Gemara Mishnah says, let him make mechitzas that are suspended below the balcony, 10 tefachim, 10 tefachim, 10 tefachim. And over here you have mamish the wall. Here's the wall from the hotel. And here's his balcony. So he's going to make mechitzas tluya, 10 tefachim, 10 tefachim, 10 tefachim. And the wall here, so you have, and the balcony is more than dalet al dalet. So you say, good, achis mechitzas. So I visualize that the mechitzas go all the way down. So the area directly below the balcony in the ocean has the status of Rishus HaYachid. So if you take a bucket and throw it out like this, so the rest of the ocean is a Carmelis. So you're drawing water from the Carmelis into the Rishus HaYachid. That's not allowed. But if you lower a bucket directly below, you have a hole in the balcony floor. You lower a bucket directly below. Be careful. Only to lower and pull up. So in that area directly below, that's okay. High buttons in the teeth is Luya. So the Gemara says, "Kalhu shehikilu chachamim b'mayim." The rabbis were makel,
Because the whole issue is only a commonless anyway. The guy needs water, has no water. It's not a hotel like today, running water. They had no running water. So the rabbis were makel on the mechitza tluya because of the fact that there are no gidoyim over there. There's only bikiyas dogim. There are only fish swimming around. And Rashi explains, and the Gemara says, bikiyas dogim lachshmo bikiya. The fact that the fish are swimming doesn't bother me because they're not seals that jump on top of the river. They're fish that swim below the surface of the water. So since you don't see them, they're below the surface of the water, so it doesn't count. That's not called the kua. So the Chazon Ish says, so why did the Gemara say, kalhu shekilo chachamim b'mayim? Why is it a kula? That's the Ikar Adin. According to the way the Chasam Sofer, obviously the way he reconstructed the Chasam Sofer, that the whole chisarim of Mechitza Tluya is because of Gidoyim Bokimbo. But if you don't have any Gidoyim Bokimbo, then Mechitza Tluya would be good. So here the Gemara explains that it's only the Kiyaz Dogim. The Kiyaz Dogim is Lash made the Kiyah because they swim below the surface of the water. So why does the Gemara say that it's a Kula? Why is it a Kalash Kilhom? So he says, you see from this Gemara that Mechitza Tluya is no good, period. Not only because of the Gidoyim Bokimbo. It's no good on the level of rice, Mechitza Tluya is no good even without the Kiyaz Gidoyim. But that's why he says that the Chasam Sofer is wrong, that you cannot have the pole suspended 11 feet above the ground. It's not acceptable. Then the Chazon Ish even goes a step further, and he says even if the pole of the Tzuras HaPesach would be within 3 tefachim to the ground, he thinks that it's also not acceptable. I just have lovewood. So he says, what does it help lovewood? The Gemara says in Erevin that the main principle to determine whether your Tzuras HaPesach is acceptable is Pischi Shamoi is no good. If it's poorly constructed frame of a door, if you'd ask a goyish carpenter to make me the frame of a door, and this he would make it like that, he'd say, I'm not going to pay you. That's not the way you normally make the frame of a door. So then it's not acceptable to Hilcha Shabbos. So he says, lovewood is a din. You tell a goy, make me a frame of a door with lovewood. Lovewood is Allah HaMashim Sinah, Hilchas Mechitus. What it's got to do? You have to make it so it's a pesach yidiyavdi inshi. It has to be the way normal people would make it. Normally people don't throw in halacha mashim b'tzinas when they're making the frames of the door. But the Chazon Ish insists that it's only acceptable if the two poles touch the ground mamash. You cannot rely on lovewood that the pole should be within 3 tefachim to the ground. That's usually assumed not like the Chazon Ish. The Shari Tshuva next to the Behetit quotes one of the Achranim. He writes, not so, and the Stifler also writes, and his brother-in-law the Chazon Ish writes, he says, his family was not familiar with this Chazon Ish. He writes the double poshut that if the pole comes within 3 tefachim, it's good, but the Chazon Ish has this heorot, that strong heorot, that lovewood should not be acceptable. Maybe, Linetta, next time we'll have to cover the other two topics about Titikra Yorid Dissosim is very relevant, Halacha Maisa, and Siluk Mechitza. Okay?